I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Hebrews in the chapter 13. A couple of verses we're just reading. And certainly we would like to extend to those families that have been bereaved our sincere sympathy. Do remember the funeral service this afternoon of our brother Victor, and pray that the Lord will undertake for Liz and the rest of the family circle. Also, I was with our brother Sam Houston yesterday, and certainly had a time of fellowship. He buried his wife on Thursday, and we had a time of fellowship together. And he sends his special thoughts and greetings to our sister Doreen, because Doreen and Sandy were some of Sam and Betty's close friends. And certainly he wants me to convey that, and I do so before this congregation. Let's open our Bibles here, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. We're just reading from God's precious word. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word for his name's sake. Amen. Over the years, when people handed me their Bible and asked me to sign their Bible, in putting my name on the front of their Bible or the back of it, I always put the motto text. The motto text is here found in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I was attending one of our services in one of our congregations, and a young lady came up to me, see me. She said, Mr. McRae, I just want to tell you what the Lord has done in my life. She said, when I was a young child, you came to our church, and I went up after and I handed you my Bible, and I asked you to sign it. You signed my Bible. I grew up in my through my teens, and in the latter part of my teens, I turned away from the things of God. I forgot my Bible. I forgot the things of God. But then I was going to university. And when I was getting my clothes put into the case in university, I just came on my Bible. I reached down to my Bible, I opened it. And there in the front page, you had written your name in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Said, I looked at it and then I set it down. But you know, God followed after me. I went to university, but I took my Bible with me. I started to read, and I read those verses over and over again. And she said, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And friend, I want to speak to you this morning on these verses, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. You know, we know that as children of God, that we have a glorious prospect. We know that one day we're going to be with Christ. Our brother Victor spending the Lord's day in the Lord's presence. And every child of God has that assurance. But we also should have the assurance that whilst not only have we the glorious prospect of an eternity with Christ, that we have the present enjoyment of the presence of Christ as we head home to glory. And that is something that every child of God ought to be conscious of. Conscious of the presence of the Lord with us every moment of every day. And I want to show you this morning just how that can be. How that is. There are two things I want us to notice this morning, and it's this. I want us to think about the promise itself. And then I want us to see the performance instructed. And may the Lord help us as we open God's word and study it here today. Now let's look at the promise itself. In verse number 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. There's the promise itself. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I want you to notice its surety. Because notice what the Word of God says here. For he hath said. Another rendering of that in the original is this. The Lord himself hath said. And so the mighty promise that we're looking at this morning, remember, it's not a promise that somebody else is giving to you. It's not even what a friend has given to you, an earthly friend. It's not even your mom or your dad's given to you as a child. But here is the sovereign promise of a holy and a righteous God. It says, he hath said. It's a mighty promise from the very lips of God himself. And that's why I want you to take it this morning, child of God, as you go through this life, and as perhaps some of you are struggling today, and maybe you feel deserted, maybe you feel all alone. Well, I want to tell you, child of God, you ought not to feel that today, because the devil is having a play upon your mind, if that is so, because he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so the certainty and the surety of the promise is this, he has said. Now, whenever you study the Word of God, you'll find that God has said these or similar words to God's people down the years. Let's turn to the first, in the book of Genesis, chapter 28. And in Genesis, chapter 20, here's a young man, and he's leaving home. Here's a young man that's leaving home under a shadow because he has taken his brother's birthright and also his brother's blessing. And so we find this young man, Jacob, is leaving his father, Isaac. He's been sent by his father to his mother's family circle. And it says in verse number 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, as he was going and he was traveling there, in his mind, he knew that his brother hated him. And he felt lonely. And after a time of going on the journey, he was exhausted. And so he laid down, and in verse number 11 said, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow. It's a hard pillow, isn't it? All he had was a stone for a pillow. But I want you to notice, in the midst of that hardship, in the midst of those circumstances, in the midst of that loneliness, look at verse 15. And God is speaking to him here, because it says in verse 13, the Lord stood above it. That's that ladder that reached to heaven in his dream. And this is what God said. Verse 15, and behold, I am with thee. And I will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You can imagine what it must have been for that lad to hear the word of God to say. He said, you don't need to fear. He says, look, Jacob, I'm with you. Your brother's not. And your family's not. But I'm with you. And he said, I'll not leave you. I'll not leave you. Then turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And the scene here is, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses was an old man. He's about 120 years now. He's just about to die. He's about to lay down the baton for the last time. And he speaks to Joshua, the young man that's taken over. And he speaks the words of encouragement. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And the Lord said, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. And so once again, what we're seeing here, in the midst of the circumstances, as Joshua is concerned about taking over the leadership of the work of God, and the old man is laying down the baton, and he turns to his young friend, and he says to him this. He says, you know, it's the Lord that doth go before thee. You don't need to be afraid. He will be with thee. He'll not fail thee. He'll not forsake thee. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. Then turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we find now David is encouraging his son Solomon to build the temple of the Lord. In verse number 20, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until I was finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." And over again in God's word, my friend, God says these words to it. It's his promise. "For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." You see, this Bible is a storehouse of comfort for the children of God. Remember these words. He hath said. It's God's statement. And I want to tell you this morning, that statement has not been retracted. God's statement has not been reversed. Thank God it's still in effect today. It's the faithful word of a trustworthy God. You know, there are many times in life you face circumstances that you can't be sure of. But here's a promise from God's word. You know what he's saying? He says, "I'll be with you now. I'm with you now. And I'll be with you tomorrow. And I'll be with you every day of your life. Because I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you." Maybe there's some here this morning and you feel forsaken. Maybe circumstances in life, maybe in your family, maybe in your business, maybe you feel lonely. And maybe you come to the place where David said this, "No man cared for my soul." Remember these words. He hath said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." What does it mean, friend? What does it mean, "I will never leave thee"? That word there has a range of meanings. It means to, "I'll never desert you. I'll never loosen my grip upon you. I'll never give up on you. I will in no ways let you go. I will not relax my hold on you. I will not cease to sustain and uphold you." It's all there in that word, "leave." I'll never leave you. I'll not let you go. Jesus said this, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." He'll not let you go. He'll not let you go. "I will never leave thee." And you see that word "never"? It means "I will never, ever." I will never, ever leave you. Child of God, embrace the promise that God has given here this morning and rejoice in what God is saying this. He can't state it more plainly. He says, "I'll never leave you." And then the word is "forsake." What does that mean? The word "forsake" means, "I'll never leave you behind. I'll never abandon you. I'll never leave you in straits. I'll never forsake you in a state of defeat and helplessness in your circumstances." Remember, Paul said this in 2 Timothy, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." But friend, he couldn't say a bit of God. Because God says, "I'll never forsake you." Spurgeon said this, "It would hardly be possible in English to give the full weight of the Greek of that word never. He said it can be rendered like this in the original, from the original Greek. I will never, never desert you. And I will never, never, never abandon you. That word, in actual fact, in the original, is fivefold. And five is the number of grace. Child of God today, you're never alone. Lift your up your eyes onto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. And so we find here that there are those that when you need them, they're nowhere to be found. But what did the psalmist say? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Friend, he's always there. He's always with you. That's its surety. But notice the simplicity. How definite and how clear it is. There's no misunderstanding this. A child could understand these words. If you were to say to your child, darling, Daddy will never leave you. I'll never desert you. I'll never loosen my grip on you. I'll never leave you alone. And I can see that wee child put his arms around Daddy's neck and say, Daddy, thank you to know that you're there. Maybe there's somebody in trouble today. A brother said to me yesterday, he said, you know, he's facing a great trial in his life and sickness. He said, you know, there are times I don't feel the Lord close. And I want him to be close to me. I said, brother, listen to what he said. I will never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. And all I want you this morning to do is as child of God, as you leave God's house, I want you to take that promise, if you love the Lord Jesus and are walking with the Lord, I want you to take hold of that promise by faith. And I want you to say, thank you, Lord. Because I know you mean it. The Lord himself hath said. He didn't leave it to McRae to say it. It's his promise. And he's the God who cannot lie. Why not take hold of the promise right now, friend? Listen to me. With God behind you, and with his arms beneath you, you can face whatever is before you. This is on the Lord. Notice the solace here. Did you notice the words? He hath said, I will never leave thee. Very personal. Very personal. As if you were the only one. There's no equivocation here. There's no qualification here. There's no ifs here. There's no buts here. He makes this clear statement, friend. And what a solace it is. With all your trials and tribulations, with all your problems and perplexities, with all your difficulties and even defeats, with all your failures, or faithfulness, he hath said, I'll never leave you. He pledges his word to you as his precious chain, the covenant keeping God who can't lie. There's a promise. But friend, I want you to notice very quickly as we close this morning, threefold performance in the light of that. Because notice that little word, for he hath said. Now that word there can mean because he hath said. In the light of what God has said, what does that mean to me? What does that bring to me when I know that the Lord will never leave me, the Lord will never forsake me? What does that mean as I live the Christian life? There are three things. First of all, it brings contentment. Look at the opening verse, or the first part of the verse. Let your conversation, now the word conversation is not only the words of your lips. Conversation is the manner of your life, the way you live before men. The life that you live from day to day as a Christian. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things. What does it say? As ye have. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, I've been in many testimony meetings. I've heard a lot of testimonies. A lot of people share how that they have sinned against God. But he says, in all my life, I have never heard one person confess the sin of covetousness. They've never said. He said, it is not possible to satisfy the greedy. If God has given you one talent, use it. And don't waste your time in finding fault with somebody else that has been given five talents. If the Lord makes you a woodcutter, throw your strength into your felling and cleaving the tree, and don't throw the axe at your fellow worker. Covetousness is that craving and desiring for something that you don't have. Always looking for more. And friend, that's man today. He's craving, he's always craving for more. But in the light of the assurance that the Lord is with me, no matter the circumstances, the Word of God says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content. What does that mean? It means be satisfied. Child of God, listen. Are you satisfied with what you have? Or are you disgruntled? You feel that somebody else has something more and you ought to have it instead of them. You haven't the house that they have. You haven't the car that they have. You haven't the clothes that they have. Well, if they can afford it, God bless them. But God didn't say about what they have. God says, be content with things as you have. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that true in your life today? Let your manner of living, the way you're living from day to day, friend, is there that spirit of contentment? What God has assigned to you, what God in providence and in his sovereign will given to you, is there that submission to what God's will is and what God's providential leading and blessing is, that you are content, that you are satisfied? You can be content in him, friend. because in Christ we have everything. What did the psalmist say? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I don't lack anything. For the Lord's my shepherd. Covetousness means a discontentment with our lot. And yet the Word of God says we're to be content with such things as ye have. Are you jealous of somebody else? Jealous of what they have? Have you ever wondered why you haven't got them? Friend, could the Lord trust you with them? Could the Lord trust you with them? Or would you be carried away and put your head and nose in the air and strut around as if you were the only person in the world that really mattered and nobody else mattered to you? Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about eternal things in Luke's Gospel chapter 12? He was talking about hypocrisy. He was talking about the fear of man. He was talking about hell. He was talking about, indeed, the reality of the unpardonable sin. And all of these solemn things and the eternal things, he talked about the great eternity. And a man stood up in the midst of all that Jesus was talking about, all these eternal things. You know what the man said to him? Good master, would you tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me? He never heard a word. He wasn't concerned about eternity. He wasn't concerned about heaven or hell. He wasn't concerned about the day of judgment. He wasn't concerned about hypocrisy. He wasn't concerned about the unpardonable sin and being lost for all eternity. All he was concerned about, my brother, divide unto me his inheritance. He got what I should have got. You know what Jesus said? Beware of covetousness. That's what Jesus said. You see, there's no contentment. You know, hymn writer says, if I Jesus, Jesus only, I possess a cluster rare. An old Puritan was sitting down at his meal. And as he was sitting down at the table, on the table was only a bit of stale bread and a glass of water. That's all he had. And he looked, and this is what he said. Lord, all this, and Jesus too. A bit of bread. A wee glass of water. And yet he was excited. Lord, you've given all this. And of Jesus too. Friend, that's contentment. Are you content? The second thing is not only contentment. Go to verse 6 quickly. So that we may boldly say, in the light of what has been promised by the Lord, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Thank God there's not only a contentment, there's a confidence. Because of the fact he's with me. Because of the fact he will never leave me. Therefore, I can boldly say, I can confidently say, I can cheerfully say, that's what it is, with courage. The Lord's my helper. Think of that, friend. The Lord is my helper. Who's your helper? Some friend who's with you today and away tomorrow? the Almighty God, the living God, the infinite God, the eternal God, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, Jehovah. He's my helper. That's where I'm confident. I'm not confident. The Bible says in the book of the Psalms 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Is that the one that you're trusting? You see, friend, whenever you're facing a situation, who do you run to first? Who do you run to first? Who's the one that you find your strength and your help from? David said, my help cometh from the Lord. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is on my side. Paul was able to say in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say to these things if God be for us? And you see the word if. It's not questionable. I don't know whether he is or not. The word means since is the closest interpretation of that word. Since God be for us, who can be against us? And friend, when you grip that thought with all your heart, then you can consciously, with confidence, believe these words in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Maybe you say to me, I don't understand what's happening in my life. My old body's breaking down. I can't see the way I used to see. I can't walk the way I used to walk. I can't do the things I used to do, friend. Listen. And all that may be true, but God's word is true. And it says this. All things work together for good to them that love God. Child of God, listen. In the day when everything's collapsing around you, when everything's disturbing you, you can have total confidence in this fact. That the Lord, who's promised never to leave you, will be your helper. And he'll work it out together for your good and for his glory. For that's what Christian living is. Living to the glory of Christ. Here's the last thought. I'm not to be covetous. I'm to be content. And because God has said this promise, listen, I am content with what God gives me. And then because God has given me this promise, I have a confidence that I can boldly say, cheerfully, confidently say, the Lord's my helper. And then it finishes this. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In other words, it gives me a calm. It gives me courage. I will not be afraid what man shall do unto me. I'm not going to be apprehensive about the future. Your problems, your worries, your anxieties, listen, friend, they're big. And they're bigger than you can carry. But listen to me. They're not bigger than God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Ah, Lord God, there is nothing too hard. Thee. And not be afraid. I don't need to fear. Psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, Lord, you're with me. I've got the Lord. And I've got everything in Christ. Are you afraid? He says, fear not. Nothing to be afraid of. I'm your helper. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Take hold of this promise. As I close John chapter 6, we find that the disciples are upon the boat. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the wind's blowing, and the waves are lashing at the boat. And the Lord Jesus comes walking in the night on the water. And the Bible says in John 6, verse 19, the end of it is said, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it's I. Be not afraid. I must have the Savior with me. For I dare not walk alone. I must have his presence near me and his arms around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let him lead me where he will. I will go without a murmur. And his footsteps follow still. Never a burden that he does not carry. Never a sorrow that he does not share. For whether the day may be sunny or dreary, Jesus, Jesus is always there. Now, do you believe that? Or are you going to go back through those doors and go out into the world and face this incoming week worrying, fretting, as if God had forgotten you? And you throw back in his face his promise. Lord, no matter what you say, I'm not going to let go of my burdens. I'm just going to struggle along. And I just carry them all alone. He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And that's why Victor Weir was able to die happy. Because he was conscious of the presence of the Lord. Listen, friend. Don't only die happy. Live happy. For his promise is true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of those words that we've been reading this morning. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that you promised you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. What though clouds are hovering o'er me and I seem to walk alone? If I've Jesus, Jesus only, I possess a cluster rare. Oh God, thank you for thy presence with your people. And there's someone here this morning and they're not saved. They can't take hold of this promise because it's not true for them. But we bless thee, it's true for the child of God. Bless this congregation. Help them to do what you've said in your word. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, keep rejoicing. In Jesus' name.